Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is suggesting now to Nicodemus, you have got to go through a transformation, Nicodemus, to enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to be completely changed. No wonder why he says, how can this be?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. In fact, we're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about being born again. Jesus himself said to a teacher of the Jews that one must be born again, or born from above, if you will, in order to see or understand the kingdom of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more of You Need to Know all about being born again.
What you need to know regarding the doctrine of regeneration. Being born again. The doctrine of regeneration, or what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with them. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, the word means, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verse 5, and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Amazing. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from. You cannot tell where it goes. And so everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Verse 14, you ought to mark this. This is really Jesus' answer for today. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name or the authority of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in or before God. All you need to know in these days is vital when we're talking about Bible doctrine. That's why we've paused from our verse-by-verse teaching to look at the key essentials of what the Bible teaches. That's why the very theme of this series is you need to know. And we're looking at Jesus' invitation, can I even say mandate to the world, that you must be born again. So as I said in the opening, we have our third and final installment. The first one was this, regarding all about being born again. We asked this question, what does it mean to be born again? We came up with three challenges regarding the question. Number one, that you and I need a new life that comes from above. For you and I to enter heaven, we cannot do it with this life. We need a life that comes from above. The word born again means born from above. And secondly, we saw that you need to receive that new life from God. The Bible says that new life is imparted by God, not by man. No man can give you and I new life. Your doctor cannot give you new life. Some religious guru cannot give you new life. Your husband, your wife cannot give you new life. Some diet cannot give you new life. Only God can give new life, and that comes from above. Thirdly, we saw that your life and my life are now, is now lives to be lived for the things of God. That the things that concern God mark the believer's life and purpose for living. The Christian should be mistaken in this world for doing the acts of Jesus. We should be the most loving. We should be the most engaged. We should be the most fearless. We should be the most illuminating to a culture in every aspect for good. The Christian life should be seen by others. They may not read a Bible, but they're reading us. Second argument last time was this: why do you have to be born again? And we saw three things as well. Because number one, you and I are separated from God. Our nature, our first birth, the way that we live, the way that we think, we're separated from God. The Bible calls us sinners and that we need Him. And then secondly, we saw that because you and I are heading in the wrong direction. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to every man, but that way ends in death. We need to be careful about that. So we're hearing all these reasons. Thirdly, we saw last time, because you and I cannot get there from here. Meaning we cannot get to heaven based upon our own efforts. There's nothing that we can translate from here to there in that economy. It's completely different. Number three, all about being born again, we ask this question. How can I be born again? How does that happen? What are we talking about? Look at verse 3 and 4 of John's gospel. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless," this is required. These are the words of Jesus. You must, absolutely, it's got to happen. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All of this is in the emphatic. Jesus is stressing. Of course, we were not there. The Holy Spirit, of course, was there. Jesus was there. Nicodemus was there. We can only speculate on what that must have been like. But here is a private relationship, a private dialogue between two men, one a sinner, one the Savior, one lost, one who saves, and Jesus turns and looks at him and says, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it. And that private dialogue is recorded in your Bible for us to, eavesdrop upon and learn from it. In verse 4, he says, Nicodemus responds to Jesus, and he asks this great question, which is why we have this third and final argument. How? How? He's asking, how can you be born again? And I love what he says. How can a man be born? He's talking about a second birth when he's old. That's impossible. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's impossible. He's asking the question, how? We so often think that Nicodemus has come to Jesus and he's somewhat puffed up with pride. Maybe he's been sent there on a mission by the other Pharisees. We only think that. There's no evidence to back that up. All we know is that he came to Jesus by night, which, by the way, suggests that he came there without the rest of the Pharisees knowing that he's there. So he's not recognized. He comes to Jesus when Jesus is alone. And frankly, he kind of opens up with flattery. We know that you've come from God. Nobody can do the miracles that you do. And of course, that goes right like water off a duck's back when Jesus just says, he just blows that compliment right off. And he says, you've got to be born again, Nick. You're not going to make it. And remember who he's talking to. Jesus introduces to Nicodemus the man who, if anyone was going to heaven on their morality, on their deeds, on their good works, on their religious efforts, it's Nicodemus. This is a God-ordained moment. You know, maybe this is a God-ordained moment for you to be here right now. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Jesus is suggesting now to Nicodemus, you have got to go through a transformation Nicodemus, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you got to be completely changed. No wonder why he says, how can this be? We should know this. You know, you guys, years ago, I was so privileged to grow up spiritually at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And, you know, Chuck Smith rarely was ever out of the pulpit. But when he was going to be away, we'd get all excited. We were happy when he would be gone because he'd always bring in these amazing guest speakers. And he would bring in from time to time a man in those days called, his name was A.E. Wilder Smith, a brilliant scientist from Einigen, Switzerland. You can buy his books, A.E. Wilder Smith, just brilliant guy. But one time he came out and he shocked me, but I've never forgotten it. Because he talked about the evidence for God's word, the Bible, and then he talked about regarding the evidence for God's word where there is no Bible. He talked about those who, are, for example, never heard the gospel, or they live in the jungles of South America, running around in their grass skirt, you know, spearing pigs and stuff. And yet the Bible says that that person is without an excuse as to knowing God. Did you know that? And Walter Smith said that God has written two Bibles. And I remember going, whoa. He said, one is right here in your hand, the Bible, God's word. And the other one, because God is the author of creation, is looking at creation. God tells us a story in the creation. And that's exactly what Romans 1 says. And when he said that, it blew my mind, and I've never forgotten it. So I think it had such an impact on me that I really view things that God has done. Boy, hasn't man messed stuff up in the world? But the stuff God has done is pretty cool, and I love it. I love today that he's floating clouds out over the Pacific and bringing them our way. That's awesome. And by his mercy, to drop rain. How do you hold all that heavy water in that floating cloud? The Bible says God does that stuff. I love that. That's awesome science, ladies and gentlemen. And so is this. I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screen. This is what's happening in my backyard right now. That plant is California milkweed. It's the only plant that a monarch butterfly will lay its eggs on. And that is a monarch caterpillar, almost 2 inches long. You see his little buddy in the corner sticking his head up over that bloom? And we got a bunch of them out there right now. The monarch butterflies come and lay this egg that's about a quarter of the size of a grain of sand. And you can barely see them. And very, very, very rapidly, they grow very fast. You can watch them grow in size daily. And so this guy is just about getting ready to do his journey. He will take all of those feet of his, and he will begin to head up most often our house, under our eaves of the house. And a chrysalis is formed. In fact, next slide, this is what it looks like, hanging. And there's one there that's closest to you that's out of focus. And the one that is in focus, do you guys see through the membrane, see through that film, that skin? Do you see the wings all curled up in there? Just a few days before that, that thing was just nothing but a ball of liquid or solution, fluid, pulverized on the inside by a chemical reaction. It's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. It's going through a physical transformation, but if you come to my house, we will often talk about, do you think that guy knows what he was beforehand? Can you imagine when he flies around the yard going, I'm free! Okay, you don't want to come to my house. I get that. Next slide. Boom, comes out. He's drying. He'll dry, she'll dry, this is a female, she'll dry 3 or 4 hours out in the sun, drying. Next slide. See, that's a female. Anybody know why? How you can tell it's a female? No, the males are just as pretty. The males have two black dots in the middle wing center right by the body, two black dots. This is a female, and when she's ready to go, she'll let you know because she'll do a little rev up, like an airplane at the end of the runway. She'll hang on to whatever she's holding on to and really start pumping those wings. Next slide. Oh, there. Okay. She's going for it. Yes, I did take these pictures. You're welcome. and so I think that might be the last slide. Yes. And off she goes. What has happened? In nature, God is showing you, if you just slow down and get your face out of your phone or out of your TV and look what's going on, this is happening all the time. And he's telling Nicodemus, a metamorphosis has to happen in your life. You've got to be changed. And notice, the change happens from the inside out. Always from the inside out. So here we go. Mark this down if you would. The Bible tells us, first of all, that what you and I need to know about being born again is how you are born again. And the first thing is that you and I would need to be honest. Will you write that down? There's no escaping it. You got to be honest. Honest with yourself. Remember this. Nicodemus comes and he speaks to Jesus. This is a divine appointment, as I said earlier. But he came. And you got to be honest, like Nicodemus is being honest. You got to wonder what's going on in his mind. Why did he come? What challenge is going on in his life that he would come? And so we'll give credence to the scenario. It's dark. He comes alone. Jesus is alone. He speaks deep things with Jesus. He engages with Jesus. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that the first step in you being born again and going to heaven is facing this challenge. You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to realize what Nicodemus is realizing. And this is a big deal, people, because I want to remind you of this. Number one, he's a Jew, which means he has access to all of the traditions of his ancient fathers. He's now holding that, in a way, suspect, meaning I've got the tradition of my fathers in my hand. I'm a Jew. I'm part of God's chosen people. And yet, what's he saying by being honest, really, with himself? He's come because why? Because there's something lacking in his life. If the traditions of his fathers fulfilled him, he wouldn't be coming to Jesus by night. Number two, being of the religious order, being of the status that he was, he had access to all of the scriptures. He knew them. To be a Pharisee, he would have known the Bible better than you and I. So why didn't that fulfill him? You know, you can be a theologian right now and be absolutely 18 inches away from heaven. You may have it in your head, but you don't have it in your heart. You can be a very religious person and miss heaven altogether because you never went from belief to faith. That's the key. So he must be sensing a bit of lacking in his life. Number three, he would have been a man of great financial wealth. His position allowed that for him. Very well taken care of. And yet he's not fulfilled. You know, you think of Steve Jobs, who, isn't it amazing? He's in eternity right now, Steve Jobs. What would he give? Bill Gates. Do you think if Bill Gates right now wrote a check, if he came in here right now, honestly, I mean this, if he came in here and said, Pastor, I want to write a check right now for $50 billion. For what? Well, you know, I just want to write it. I don't know, maybe it'd make me feel better about heaven. Do you understand that if I am a wolf, I would take his check? You say, how would that make you a wolf? It'd make the church very wealthy. Well, that's dangerous. But you know what? If I took his money, I would be actually feeding his form of trying to get to heaven. I would actually, in a way, be sealing his fate, as it were, if you think about it. I would have to say to Mr. Gates, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Your money is worthless in the economy of heaven. That's what I'd have to tell him. That's what you would tell him. The next thing is this, fourthly, powerful. Nicodemus is powerful, and yet he's displaying to Jesus a sense of lacking. It wasn't his power. And number five regarding this, it's not his fame. He was a man of his position, would have been much sought after. Nicodemus, what do you think about this? Nicodemus, what do you think about that? Nicodemus, we need you to speak here. Nicodemus, write that thing, do the other. It's not that. And he's there. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Mark 8, 36, Jesus said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Man, think of that. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, that verse may or may not mean much to you right now, but I guarantee you, as you get older, if you're granted the mercy to be on your deathbed, to say goodbye to your family, to have second thoughts, third thoughts, fourth thoughts, let me tell you something right now by experience. No one has ever yet told me, "Pastor, I just wish I would have made more money in my day." Never heard it yet. I've never had one person say, "If I would have just bought more homes." Not yet. Never heard anybody say, "Man, if I just would have bought that new vet, I would have been set." Do you know what people say? "Pastor, tell me about heaven. Tell me about Jesus again. I wish I would have had more time with my wife, with my husband, with my kids. I wish I would have had time with my grandkids. I wish..." That's none of them say, "I wish, oh, Pastor, I just wish all the time I wasted when I could have been tweeting." Not going to happen. All the junk of the world blows away in that moment of profound reality. You're going to meet your maker. You're going to enter eternity. Time's up. And it's going to come down to this. Are you born again? Jesus is saying you can't give anything to redeem your soul. And I call that a crisis. And I thought about that for a moment. And this week, putting my notes together, studying for this, that's a crisis. Nicodemus is in a crisis. And you know what, my friend? Listen, all crises are not bad. In fact, listen, Nicodemus is in a crisis. And if I'm faithful to my notes and I get to the end of my notes, I'm going to show you how his crisis led him to a good place. A crisis. By the way, this may be a crisis. You're hearing the gospel, and for you to get saved, you've got to be honest with you. You've got to look in the mirror, like James tells us about, and identify who you are. I don't have to identify you. Your mom doesn't have to identify you. You've got to look in the mirror. And here's how busy we are. We look in the mirror. We look to see, is there any bats in the cave? Is there any crumbs on my face? And off I go. No, we're supposed to stop and look, and we should look in the mirror and say, "Who am I? What am I living for? What is the foundation of my belief system?" You say, "Oh, Pastor, there's where I get you. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything." You have a belief system. "Oh, Pastor, I'm none of those. I'm an agnostic." You have a belief system. Every human being has a belief system. All of us believe in something or someone. You're not escaping that. The question is, how do you define it? What is your belief system? Which leads you, by the way, to how you live your life. You will live your life based upon your belief system. Thirdly, that belief system as to how you live your life, that's how you make your decisions. Why you vote, how you vote, why you read what you read, where you go, how you treat other people, how you are toward your kids or to your parents, to your wife or to your husband, is all based on your belief system.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's a series called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Being Born Again on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs, and you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.